Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
As I said, my name is Douglas Mickeljohn, a lawyer with the New Mexico Environmental Law Center. I propose to speak to you for about 10 minutes and then designate 5 minutes of our time for counsel for the Isleta Pueblo and another 5 minutes of our time for counsel for Wild Earth Guardians, and to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. There are several points that we have briefed extensively that I just want to touch on, but not deal with extensively. The first is that the Augustan Plains Ranch application does not identify the beneficial uses or use to which the water that it proposes to appropriate would be put. The second point is that the application also doesn't identify the place or places where that use or those uses would occur. And in fact, the application confirms the absence of these pieces of information by its proposed two-stage procedure, in which it indicates that these two pieces of information are only going to be provided in the second stage of the application. The third point that I want to mention briefly is the question of whether the Augustan Plains Ranch was entitled to an evidentiary hearing in front of the state engineer. That's an issue that this court has already decided in its 2012 memorandum decision concerning the 2007-2008 Augustan Plains Ranch application. And this court decided correctly under the statute that the Augustan Plains Ranch was not entitled to such an evidentiary hearing before the state engineer. There are two points that I wish to address in more detail. One was raised by a question that this court asked during the February status conference. The court asked whether, if the application is dismissed, should the application be dismissed with prejudice? The answer to that is yes, because the Augustan Plains Ranch should not be able to file exactly the same application over and over again. But from our point of view, that's not the end of the inquiry. The question is, what happens if the Augustan Plains Ranch files similar applications in the future? A possibility that this court in the February hearing characterized as rinse and repeat with respect to the application. We understand that reference to be to continued litigation about similar applications in the future. Those applications or that litigation would be a problem not only for the court but for our clients who have already been through this twice. Our clients are not interested in continuing this cycle over and over and over again. Arguably, a dismissal of this application with prejudice would not necessarily bar the filing of a similar application in the future, although many of the same arguments might be applicable to such a similar application. We make the following suggestion if the court is inclined to dismiss this application. In 2012-2013, the court affirmed the state engineer's decision and dismissed the original APR application. We suggest that in addition to doing that with respect to this application, the court should make it clear to the state engineer office and specifically to the Water Rights Division of the State Engineer Office that it is required to comply with Section 7212.3c, which indicates that any incomplete application shall be rejected. This application is incomplete. It does not provide, as I said earlier, the purpose or the place of use of the water to be appropriated. Section subsection C specifically says that no application that fails to provide information required by subsection A or subsection B shall be accepted. We urge the court to make it very clear to the Water Rights Division that that should be the Water Rights Division's posture going forward. even though the court ruled in 2012 that the earlier application was incomplete, and even though that was also the ruling of the state engineer, the Water Rights Division accepted the current application on the grounds that it was complete as to form. The concept of completeness as to form has no basis in the statute. The statute doesn't say anything about being complete as to form. What it says is, if the application isn't complete, then the application must be rejected. The second point relates to whether commercial sales of water can be characterized as a beneficial use. And we're speaking about unappropriated groundwater being appropriated by private entities. In its 2012 memorandum decision, this court pointed out that it would be anomalous, that was the court's word, to require specificity from protestants if specificity is not required of applicants in their applications. But if commercial sales are recognized as beneficial uses, and it's been our position throughout that they are not, then that lack of specificity of an in an application would mean that the application could be unspecific, but that the protestants would have to be specific. Because simply saying that water is going to be sold doesn't tell the potential protestant anything about where it's going to be used, what it's going to be used for, or even who's going to be buying it. And so the protestant would be required, as I said, to be specific, even though the application would not be required to be specific. That would be inappropriate, or in this court's word, anomalous. I'd like now to turn my time over to Francine Jaramillo, who is counsel for Islayo Pueblo. She will speak, and then turn the mic over to Samantha Rascavage Barrs, who is counsel for Wilders Guardians. Thank you.